You're listening to Humanitarian Radio with your hosts, Saint Zone and Janie Beauclair.
Good afternoon and welcome to Humanitarian Radio. Hope you're having an awesome Sunday afternoon. We are broadcasting live from Hollywood, California. Hoping you are having an awesome day and ready for a great program. We have an amazing guest this afternoon, and we'll surprise you with that. But let me introduce you to my co-host, Tony St. Tone.
Yes, that is me.
My name's Janie Beauclair. Sit down and enjoy the ride. This show is all about great things, positive things that people are doing for a humanitarian benefit of somebody around the world, doesn't matter where.
You know, talking about people around the world, Janie, I wanted to mention that it is September 1st, so September 21st is the International Day of Peace. It is a day that is celebrated around the world. Not too many people know about it, and I wanted to introduce our audience to that. If you go to onedayofpeace.org, you'll learn all about it. It is an incredible thing that started, I believe it started back in 2001, and it's a ceasefire around the world. Even the Taliban have recognized this, and it's an incredible event that can happen one day a year. And if the thought behind it is, if it can happen one day a year, it can happen 2 days or 3 days a year where there are no gunfire and no one dying.
Well, and what happened specifically on that day is the fighting countries specifically have agreed every year on International Day of Peace, there is no fighting. The enemy can cross lines to deliver food, to deliver medicine, to move injured victims and things of that nature, and not get fired on. So it's an amazing thing that it's been adapted by so many fighting sanctions to have this one day of peace where everybody can be humane for a day.
Yeah, I totally agree. And so in celebration of that, if you go to peace. And I'd like to add on to that, if you go to peaceoneday.org, you can learn what other people in the area are doing in your own community and how you can contribute and be part of this really incredible event. I learned about it a number of years ago, and what I've done in the past is I've put on concerts to celebrate the One Day of Peace and just to bring awareness to it. This year we're going to be performing a concert for friends of ours, Love All Humans. Sean and Tracy have a blog talk radio show, Love All Humans, and we're going to be doing a show for them in celebration with the One Day of Peace, September 21st.
And, you know, it's an interesting thing that each month seems to have its own humanitarian celebration of some sort that you can do. It's very easy to participate. Go to your local community and find out what the needs are of your community, whether it's somebody needing to help get food in the coffers, or if it's donations, or if it's just volunteers at a shelter. There's a lot of things you can do. Last week we learned from Gail Wills, who is with Walking for Breast Cancer.
That's right.
That October is Walking for Breast Cancer Month, or Helping Breast Cancer Month. So we definitely want to make you aware that there are things going on, both in September and October, that you should jump in on and be a part of, and we'll continue to let you know things that are going around the world.
And I just wanted to add also that I think it's wonderful that we bring awareness to these different topics, and that's the whole point of this show, is just to bring awareness and what we can do to help and to contribute to our fellow man in helping them out deal with these different situations. And the fact that September 21st, I don't mean to go back to that, but I wanted to say something about it real quick, is that it seems there's a lot of holidays out there that we know about and that we celebrate. If I were to say St. Patrick's Day or Groundhog Day, everyone seems to know about that, and yet not a lot of people know about September 21st. Exactly. So I'm trying to think of it.
I've never celebrated Groundhog Day.
Yeah, but everyone seems to know about it. If I say Groundhog Day, everyone knows about it.
True.
But when I say International Day of Peace, September 21st,
nobody knows.
No
about
one
it.
Seems to really know about that, and
thank
I'm wondering.
Thank God the fighting people know about it.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to see how we can bring more awareness to it. If we have to, we celebrate Cinco de Mayo and drink Coronas. So do we have to associate an alcohol with it to get more?
Maybe it's got to be drink Coronas September 21st, Peace Day.
Yeah, just kick back and have a beer and relax. Everyone get
and
along.
Everybody will know about it.
Yeah, maybe that's what it should be. So, yeah, I just wanted to throw it out there. I think it's something that if we could find a way, if you, the listeners out there, have any ideas of how we can better promote September 21st, let us know, because we'd love to hear about it.
Well, I definitely think that everybody joining in and making noise in their own community is the best way to start. The more people that can get involved in one way or another, the better, you know, the better the awareness is. But also, if you guys are doing events for either Peace One Day or a breast cancer awareness something, sign into our website at humanitarianradio.com or go to Humanitarian Radio Facebook and let us know what you're doing and what your story is. Maybe we can have you on the radio and talk about your success and what you've got going on and the great things you're doing in this world.
Yeah, so, and you have 20 days now to prepare for the September 21st, because today is September 1st. So you have 20 days to get your act together and see what you can do in your community, organize something. A couple of years back, Janie and I organized something in a matter of weeks.
Yeah,
we did
like
it in like two or three weeks.
Yeah.
And we put on a great big show in Inglewood, Florida. So it is possible.
We ended up raising a couple $1,000s in that short period of time. We reached out to different friends and we put together a show in a theater. So what ended up happening was we had this little variety show, impromptu, that we just threw together in a couple weeks and ended up making money that was used by the Rotary Club to put wells in Haiti after the storms had gone through. So we were able to contribute to getting, you know, several wells put into a country to help repair them after their damaging storm.
Yeah, and, and again, the thing that was so fascinating to me is...
You're listening to Humanitarian Radio with your hosts, Saint Zone and Janie Beauclair.
Good afternoon and welcome to Humanitarian Radio. Hope you're having an awesome Sunday afternoon. We are broadcasting live from Hollywood, California. Hoping you are having an awesome day and ready for a great program. We have an amazing guest this afternoon. And we'll surprise you with that, but let me introduce you to my co-host, Tony St. Tone.
Yes, that is me.
My name's Janie Beauclair. Sit down and enjoy the ride. This show is all about great things, positive things that people are doing for a humanitarian benefit of somebody around the world, doesn't matter where.
You know, talking about people around the world, Janie, I wanted to mention that it is September 1st, so September 21st is the International Day of Peace. It is a day that is celebrated around the world. Not too many people know about it, and I wanted to introduce our audience to that. If you go to onedayofpeace.org, you'll learn all about it. It is an incredible thing that started, I believe it started back in 2001, and it's a ceasefire around the world. Even the Taliban have recognized this, and it's an incredible event that can happen one day a year, and if the thought behind it is if it can happen one day a year, it can happen 2 days or 3 days a year where there are no gunfire and no one dying.
Well, and what happened specifically on that day is the fighting countries specifically have agreed every year on International Day of Peace, there is no fighting. The enemy can cross lines to deliver food, to deliver medicine, to move injured victims and things of that nature and not get fired on. So it's an amazing thing that it's been adapted by so many fighting sanctions to have this one day of peace where everybody can be humane for a day.
Yeah, I totally agree. And so in celebration of that, if you go to peace, and I'd like to add on to that, if you go to peaceoneday.org, you can learn what other people in the area are doing in your own community and how you can contribute and be part of this really incredible event. I learned about it a number of years ago, and what I've done in the past is I've put on concerts to celebrate the One Day of Peace and just to bring awareness to it. This year we're going to be performing a concert for friends of ours, Love All Humans. Sean and Tracy have a blog talk radio show, Love All Humans, and we're going to be doing a show for them in celebration with the One Day of Peace, September 21st.
And, you know, it's an interesting thing that each month seems to have its own humanitarian celebration of some sort that you can do. It's very easy to participate. Go to your local community and find out what the needs are of your community, whether it's somebody needing to help get food in the coffers, or if it's donations, or if it's just volunteers at a shelter. There's a lot of things you can do. Last week we learned from Gail Wills, who is with Walking for Breast Cancer.
That's right.
That October is Walking for Breast Cancer Month, or Helping Breast Cancer Month. So we definitely want to make you aware that there are things going on both in September and October that you should jump in on and be a part of, and we'll continue to let you know things that are going around the world.
And I just wanted to add also that I think it's wonderful that we bring awareness to these different topics, and that's the whole point of this show, is just to bring awareness and what we can do to help and to contribute to our fellow man in helping them out deal with these different situations. And the fact that September 21st, I don't mean to go back to that, but I wanted to say something about it real quick, is that it seems there's a lot of holidays out there that we know about and that we celebrate. If I were to say St. Patrick's Day or Groundhog Day, everyone seems to know about that, and yet not a lot of people know about September 21st. Exactly. So I'm trying to think
of a... I've never celebrated Groundhog Day.
Yeah, but everyone seems to know about it. If I say Groundhog Day, everyone knows about it.
True.
But when I say International Day of Peace, September 21st,
no one seems
to really know about that. And
thank
I'm wondering,
God the fighting people know about it.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to see how we can bring more awareness to it. If we have to, we celebrate Cinco de Mayo and drink Coronas. So do we have to associate an alcohol with it to get more?
Maybe it's got to be drink Coronas September 21st, Peace Day.
Yeah, just kick back and have a beer and relax. Everyone get
along.
And
everybody will know about it.
Yeah, maybe that's what it should be. So, yeah, I just wanted to throw it out there. I think it's something that if we could find a way, if you, the listeners out there, have any ideas of how we can better promote September 21st, let us know, because we'd love to hear about it.
Well, I definitely think that everybody joining in and making noise in their own community is the best way to start. The more people that can get involved in one way or another, the better, the better the awareness is. But also, if you guys are doing events for either Peace One Day or a breast cancer awareness something, sign into our website at humanitarianradio.com or go to Humanitarian Radio Facebook and let us know what you're doing and what your story is. Maybe we can have you on the radio and talk about your success and what you've got going on and the great things you're doing in this world.
Yeah, so, and you have 20 days now to prepare for the September 21st, because today is September 1st. So you have 20 days to get your act together and see what you can do in your community, organize something. A couple of years back, Janie and I organized something in a matter of weeks.
Yeah,
we did it in like two or three weeks.
Yeah.
And we put on a great big show in Inglewood, Florida. So
it
is possible.
We ended up raising a couple $1,000s in that short period of time. We reached out to different friends and we put together a show in a theater. So what ended up happening was we had this little variety show, impromptu, that we just threw together in a couple weeks and ended up making money that was used by the Rotary Club to put wells in Haiti after the storms had gone through. So we were able to contribute to getting, several wells put into a country to help repair them after their damaging storm.
Yeah, and again, the thing that was so fascinating to me is everyone we spoke to had never heard of the International Day of Peace. So I believe once you become aware of it and once you put on an event, more people will become aware of it. I think they did a statistic that on the website that they're finding that I think one-third of the world knows about it right now.
How sad is that?
Yeah, yeah. So only one-third of the world knows about this International Day of Peace.
Too bad we can't get our gangs to know that. Within our own country, wouldn't that be interesting if you could get that word out?
Well, yeah, that's my whole point, is it doesn't have to be with
nations and countries
that are at war. It could be within your own community or within your own streets of people knowing like, hey, it's this one day, we're going to go to call a truce. I can walk on your property, you can walk on my property. We're not going to, hold this grudge and say you can't cross this line. And the whole point of this is if you can do it for one day, you can do it for 2 days. And maybe 3 days, and maybe a month, a year,
right,
and so on. So
to propel something, to propel a forward motion in a peaceful direction.
Exactly.
One of the segments that I love on this show is we do a humanitarian Hollywood. And what that is showing there's a lot of businesses, there's a lot of actors, musicians, you know, entertainers that lend their face or their name to raising awareness and raising money for causes. So every week we feature somebody that is doing something really cool with their face, their talent, their money, whatever it is, and raising some great awareness. This week we have a musician, and I'm very excited about having him because it happens to be one of my favorite bands I've seen a gazillion times, and that's Rob Sarzo, the guitar player from Queensryche.
That is right. He's actually touring with Queensryche right now with Jeff Tate, who is the original lead singer. I believe there's two Queensryche out there right now, but he is with the lead singer, which to me I'm always...
holds more weight.
Holds more weight for me. It's like, if you got the real singer singing, that's the guy I want to be behind. You know, I don't necessarily want to be behind the guy who does karaoke. But anyway, we're going to be right back with Robert Sarzo and talk to him about his touring, about his solo album, and all the humanitarian things that he's doing. So a word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
This segment of the show sponsored by Artistic Journey, where we help groups and organizations reach their fundraising goals by providing unique marketing products to showcase their events. Be sure to visit artisticjourney.com, where you can shop for over 750,000 items to put your logo on, all at wholesale pricing. Whether you're looking for some fresh ideas or just need a better price on the goods you currently purchase, let Artistic Journey's years of experience bring your events to a whole new level. Visit artisticjourney.com today.
Dillman Amps, we create the tone in your head. Custom-built guitar and bass tube amplifiers.
Hey everybody, this is David Gilman from Gilman Amps. If you need any repairs, modifications, or restorations of your vintage or modern tube equipment, as well as custom builds, I'd love to hear from you.
For more information, check out their website, GilmanAmps.com, and Facebook /GilmanAmps. We create the tone in your head. All right. So, hey, welcome back. We are here with Robert Sarzo. You're listening to Humanitarian Radio. Robert Sarzo is a guitarist for the past 40 years. He's currently on tour with Queensryche with the lead singer Jeff Tate. Rob, how are you, man?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm doing really good and enjoying life.
Excellent. And you are right now about to go on the road, or you're right in the middle of a tour. Is that correct?
Yeah, we just got back from one of the legs of the tour, and now I'm just in the process of, getting together, putting things together for my own solo album After the Storm, and that was already released last month, and also for the next leg. Queensryche, we're going to Brazil. We're going to be playing at Monsters of Rock Festival with Aerosmith.
Oh, that's awesome. Have you ever played with Aerosmith in the past?
I've never played with Aerosmith. No, not in the past.
Well, this should be an adventure for you.
Yeah, that sounds like a blast.
I love their music. I'm a fan.
Yeah. I'm sure that helps, traveling with a band that you're a fan of their music. Then I'm sure the feeling's mutual for them as well.
Yeah, great song coming.
Have you done the Monsters of Rock tour over there in Brazil before?
No, I've never played in Brazil before.
Excellent. So this is going to be a really fun time for you then, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be great. And, the whole band, Jeff and my brother Rudy and Simon and Kelly and Randy, we're all brothers. I mean, we really have a blast on tour, off and on stage. And we're just all constantly cracking up. Which is... really enjoy what we're doing, and that really makes it a lot easier and really makes it a lot of fun. We're really going to enjoy it over there.
I would imagine it's got to be a good time being on stage with your brother. That's not something that gets to happen with all the bands that you're in, so this particular...
Yeah, I mean, my brother and I, we grew up playing together until we were, I started playing clubs at 14.
Oh, wow.
In Florida.
Wow.
And we left Florida together. We went to upstate New York. We went to New York City. And then I decided to stay in New York and just really try to see what I can accomplish over there. and Rudy went west, and I stayed there. And that's when we actually separated, and I started actually working with Jimmy Iovine on a record called This Day and Age on Arista Records, mm-hmm. and Theo Byron, it was the artist. And on a second record, we had also the song The Shadows of the Night that Pepe and Azar redid, and that became a huge hit. But anyway, we never got to do a second record. That's why she was able to go ahead and take that song. Mm-hmm. But after that, yeah, we haven't played together. So it's actually, it's really fun to be on stage, you know, and off stage being the boss.
Yeah, because you guys get along real well as brothers, where you're not the fighting kind of brothers. So this has got to be a lot of fun for you both.
Not at all. Nobody in the band is like that. Everybody's like, we're all like family. It's so interesting because my brother played with Simon for 7 years with Neil. They're really tight. I love Simon too. I love everybody in the band. I mean, we really, really get along. The chemistry is excellent.
That's really critical.
And that always shows. You can feel it on stage. You can feel the love. It sounds corny, but it's true. It's just like we really care about each other and enjoy what we're doing.
You know, I tell people that are just starting out, I say, you know, talent is one thing, but being able to hang with each other is another. And I've done quite a bit of touring also, and the thing that I realized when I first started touring is that 95% of the time, you're not on stage. So you better really like that person you're hanging out with in the hotel, at dinner, at lunch, at breakfast, in the plane, in the tour bus, whatever you're doing, touring, you better really get along with that person, because the talent that they have only gets to shine for that 5% of the time that you're on tour. The other 95% of the time, you're hanging out with each other, so you better really like each other.
Makes for
it's
a better
so
tour.
True. It really is. And, you know, you really have to depend on each other. There's a lot of times so you have to help each other out and without having to ask. And when that happens, it's just people can get sensitive. It's the right click. You know, you got the right chemistry. And, yeah, we really are enjoying it. And we acknowledge that we have a good thing, too. So we're just letting it flow. It's gliding, you know, with the universe, just flowing.
I want people to know a little bit about your history. You were in a band called Hurricane back in the 80s.
After I was in New York with Theo Byron, I toured. We opened up for Bob Seger. I was 23, 24 years old. We opened up Bob Seger. We were doing already arenas. We also played with the Boomtown Rats. Remember they had that song, I Don't Like Monday. That was 1980. So my first real record was Virginia V and Shelly Atkins at the Record Plant. And then I worked in the movie Times Square, which was a Robert Stickler production.
Right.
So, but I was ready because I grew up at 14 playing 6-7 nights a week, sometimes doing 2 shows a day in Fort Lauderdale. So I always loved, and I knew that I wanted to be a musician, so I just went full speed ahead towards my music, started classical, really enjoyed what I did. So when the opportunity came to work with Jimmy Iovine, I was ready.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had put in the work. Yeah, you put the time in.
You have to do your work, you have to be dedicated, and you got to show up on time, and you got to deliver. And when the pressure's on, you just got to just flow with it and do it. Do what you got to do. So after that whole tour that I did with Theo Byron, and then we weren't doing the second record, Randy Rose got in that plane crash. Mm-hmm. And I got a call from Sharon and Ozzy wanting to fly me to Los Angeles to audition. So I'm like, I gotta go. You know, my brother, I wanted to be by him. Randy was his best friend.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
So I just packed up, got my Les Paul, went to Los Angeles. I had never been in L.A. yet. And all of a sudden, I'm in the middle of an audition, and I'm just absorbing and recording that I had a cassette tape of one of the concerts from Blizzard of Oz. And I'm just locked myself up in the hotel room, and they just brought me food once in a while when I was hungry, and I just absorbed the whole show, the whole concert, learned everything note by note of Randy Rose.
Wow.
So this is 1982, right, when the accident happened.
Yeah.
I remember, it was a long time ago. 81, I think it was 81, a tragic accident. So I he wasn't even buried yet. I felt his presence so strong and was so intense, but I had to do this. So anyway, Ozzy gets back from the Dave Letterman show. He did a live show. And that was the Queen Mary ship. It must be noon. It is noon. Hey, it's lunchtime. I'm at the Queen Mary right now,
nice.
Long Beach, California. So anyway, I rehearsed with Ozzy. We went through a bunch of songs, and Ozzy goes, "You're hired. We're leaving tomorrow to Madison Square Garden." Wish I was living in Jersey. I'm like, cool, okay, let's do it.
Going back home.
So at the time I had called Susie, was my wife, and I told her and my family, yeah, I'm coming back home, coming tomorrow, I'm going to be continuing, you know, and help them, you know, finish out the tour that they had, all those dates contract.
Mm-hmm.
So next morning I wake up and Sharon comes to me, and I can see her face. She looked very, you know, uptight and frustrated. And she goes, "Robert, I can't believe this. My dad, Don Arden, slew this guy, a guitar player, Bernie." And I don't remember. She told me his wife and Bernie to me. And he just hired him. So they got to use him. So I would have played with my brother then nationally, but it never happened. So,
wow. I'm sure that was a disappointment.
Well, yes and no. I mean, it was like, okay, you know, I learned all this stuff. I mean, they paid me for it. But, you know, I just felt very concerned about what was going to, you know, go on, you know, with them.
Right.
Because everybody was really just in a bad state of mind. You know, you lose your guitar player, one of your best friends.
Of course, yeah.
Anyway, so I went back to Jersey, went to see them at the Garden, and hung out with them. And, it was a tough night for them. It was tougher for them than me because, you know, for me it was just going to be being a substitute. You know, I never felt like it was ever going to be, you know, I was going to be part of the band. I mean, I was just going in for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I went through a tragic accident and passed, and it was just very sad for the whole band. It was tough for Ozzy too, my brother. So anyway, I went back to Jersey, sold the house, moved to Los Angeles, started Hurricane. Met Tony Cavazzo through Kevin DeGraw. But that was the exact sequence how the whole thing happened.
One thing
led to another.
So that's actually, so in a sense, that's what pulled you out of New York to get you to L.A. So maybe that's all it was supposed to do, is it's supposed to get you to Los Angeles.
You never know. You never know. Exactly. So, I mean, I knew that eventually I was going to move to L.A. It was just, I owned the house there. It was too damn cold. I wanted to get out of there. I'm a Florida guy. I like my palm trees. I like wearing shorts. it was time to move on. And the whole scene already, what I was doing, you know, with Jimmy Iovine, I think he was getting ready to move to Los Angeles. And eventually he opened up Interscope Records. And, you know, it seemed like everybody started going west. And I'm glad I did. It was a fantastic scene on the Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's funny because I'm actually from Connecticut, and then I went to Tampa, Florida, and now I'm out here in L.A., and you went from Florida to New York to L.A., but we made a triangle, just a little different direction.
I'm a refugee, so I came in 61 to Miami from Cuba,
right.
To New Jersey, back to Miami on my own to New Jersey with my brother, and then stay there, and then I've been going back and forth. I've moved around a lot.
That's excellent. Now, let's talk about it a little bit right now. You're touring currently with Queensryche, with Jeff Tate singing. You're out there with your brother. Your brother, by the way, is Rudy Sarzo, for those that don't know. And Rudy's been a musician for just as long as you have, if not longer. Is that correct?
He ordered a guitar through the catalog. My dad bought him because he wanted it. And I picked up the guitar and started playing it about almost the same. Maybe he's got it 6 months ahead of me.
Okay.
Which one of you guys is older?
He's older. He's mm-hmm. 4 years older.
Okay.
Doesn't matter. Age doesn't matter.
You know, at school, I always picked up instruments and just started playing it. Desert Joe was out. you know, on the radio, and we had a Top 40 band, and we needed a flute player, so I bought a flute and started playing it. Just taught myself.
Wow.
Same thing I did with guitar in tuba. I took it in school, and I kind of can, you know, the piano, I taught myself how to play piano. I can pick up instruments, and by ear, just teach myself.
Is your family musically oriented, or is it just something that you have this gift?
Well, mom and dad are jocks. My dad was supposed to go to the Olympics in the 50s, representing Cuba, because he was a champion there of gymnastics. My mom was a tennis pro, so it's not from mom and dad, but my uncle was a classical pianist and opera singer, tenor.
Wow.
And my aunt and our aunt also was an actress in Cuba, and she sang in the casinos and, you know, had a dance routine and all that. So
you come from a talented family then, either in athletics or music or acting. There's a lot going on in your family.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess Rudy and I were pretty athletic on stage. We're always moving around, jumping around.
You see, you already had it in you.
Yeah, and if they give us stuff to climb, we will climb.
Yeah, right. Climb on those speakers.
Exactly. Climb all over the speakers, run around the stage. It's in your genes. Listen, we're going to be right back with Robert Sarzo, the guitar player with Greenstrike, right after these commercial breaks. Stay tuned.
Give me that S.P. scenario. I want to hear it full blast stereo.
Positive affirmations wrapped in pop rock songs. Motivational musician Saint Tone.
I'm a magnet, off the money now. I'm a magnet, off the money now.
Check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience, at www.sainttone.com. And pick up his newest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes. For music with a positive message, check out sainttone.com. Terran Radio, we are here with veteran guitar player Robert Sarzo, who is currently touring with Queensryche and Jeff Tate. Also, Robert has a solo album out that we're going to get to a little bit later. But right now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn it over to Janie Beauclair, who has some questions for you, Rob, about being a humanitarian.
I want to ask you about something, Rob. Now, I know that you have a lot going on in the humanitarian area, and you get to tour the world. You come from one country into the United States, so you know your country of Cuba, and you know the United States. You've been here long enough, and you tour around the world. It gives you the opportunity to see a lot of what's going on out there in the world. And I know that you support a lot of great humanitarian causes, and I'm wondering if that's because you do get to see what's going on out there and what people are living through, living with, and what are people are about, and what you can do because of your stature and your name and the bands you've been in to help the world in their various situations. So can you tell me a little bit about how did you get into the whole realm of humanitarianism and decided to start to help all these different causes?
Since I was a young boy, all my friends and I, we would go fishing in Miami, and I never liked the idea of taking a fish out of the water and watching him suffer and die in front of me for no reason. That always bothered me. When I first went upstate New York and I saw a dead deer on the hood of a car, and the car on the hood was all full of really beautiful white snow, and there's a red smear of blood of this beautiful deer just laying there, you know, just dead because of the sport, that really breaks my heart. That really, really bothers me. So when this whole thing came down with all the mad cow disease and the eggs not being clean enough to eat and polluted waters, I really started, you know, thanks to the internet, my wife and I, Avery and I, we started really researching the internet, and we really opened up our eyes to see what's really going out there. So we actually became vegan for about 5 years. I tend to have more difficulties on the road finding substitute things to eat, because places that you go to, they just don't understand what a vegan is. So I ended up having dirty water shrimp. I call it dirty water because most of it comes from Asia, and it comes from a filthy pool over there of shrimp, and then they have to dice it with old antibiotics.
Wow.
Not even recent antibiotics, but it's old, and that's what they're selling to this country, to America.
Oh,
and that's how they're able to keep the cost of shrimp down. You know, shrimp doesn't really go crazy. Like, if you buy a piece of chili meat as, you know, a pound, it's almost $30. So that's one of the reasons that I never lied to see dead animals. And you can still be strong and get your protein from other kinds of food. You don't have to kill an animal. You know, veal comes from a baby death, and they falsely impregnate the cows. And it's very painful for them over and over and over, just so they can produce milk. That's not natural for them. You talk to a doctor, and he'll tell you that humans are not supposed to be drinking milk. You can drink other things like almond milk, and it has even more calcium and protein than regular milk.
Right.
And it's healthy for you. Actually, I turned my parents on to that, and now my dad doesn't have the allergies that he used to have.
That's awesome.
You definitely see the benefits. So do you feel, Rob, that your being a musician and your being in the position that you are in is able to get the word out about these things that you believe in and these causes easier than your typical person? And what effort do you make to do that while you're out on the road and that type of thing? I know that you wear really cool shirts on stage. Tell us about that.
I wear on stage, and people, I get immediate reactions in every city. So I have a shirt that has a cartoon of a cow, chicken, and a pig. And I'm just really fond of these animals because I go to these different sanctuaries and I see them. And I grew up, and, you know, wow, dirty as a pig. Now you go to a pig den and you'll see how clean they are. They'll go outside at 3 o'clock in the morning to go to the bathroom. They don't go where they sleep, where they live. They're very clean. They're very smart. They have the mentality of a 3-year-old. So... And cows are very smart, too, and they know when they're going to be slaughtered, and they know, and they scream when they're taking their babies away because they're going to chop them up. And
I'm sure people don't realize
They hit them with crowbars just to, you know, keep the cows, you know, mellow. Yeah, I mean, they're totally abusing. Chattel, you know, the singer, I talked to her about it, and she's very aware also of bullfighting, and she told me that they break their backs right before they go into the arena, and that's why they go in there all wild, and that's also a handicap for them, so then, you know, don't hurt bullfighters.
So you make people aware of this in one way by wearing these shirts on stage in front of thousands of people at concerts.
Yeah, and then they bring it up, they talk to me about it, and you'll be surprised how many people are aware of it, and they're really, like, helping me out to get the word out there. No, it's just who I am is what I believe in. And, you know, and the beautiful thing about this band is that they don't care if I'm wearing something and I'm taking a chance I might turn off somebody. No one has ever said anything. I wear one especially for Best Friends Animal Society, and they have a sanctuary with all kinds of different animals. It's just, you know, different things. I'm actually doing one for, it's a concert at the Whiskey that's coming up October 17th. It's called Rock Against MS. And we're trying to raise some money also, trying to find a cure for MS. And when I was married to Susie, I lost her to cancer. So anytime that I can, I see how painful it is, and so many people go through it and gone through it. So anything that I can try to help to make this a better world, I really try.
I was going to say, we had a guest last week that does a walk for breast cancer. And you're saying, again, I just want to let our listeners know, October 7th, if you're in the Los Angeles area at the Whiskey A Go-Go in L.A.
October 17th. It's 17. Called Rock Against MS.
Rock Against MS, so they can go online, purchase tickets at the Whiskey A Go-Go. Who are you performing with there?
I don't know, but I think John Five is also performing. I think Billy Idol is performing. I'm leaving next morning, or right after that show. I got to go to Brazil. So it's
wow.
kind of really tight schedule, but I really want to do it. So that's the 17th. But you know, we haven't gotten that far yet. We don't know what we're playing or which group. Well, what it is, it's just a bunch of players that are totally behind it that we want to help out, and we'll just get together and figure out what songs we're going to perform and, you know, raise money.
That's excellent. So you do concerts, or you get involved in awareness about cancer, about MS, about animal cruelty. You know, being in a position that you're in as a musician, I believe that music is extremely powerful, and it's an extremely powerful healing element. And you being a musician enables you to get the word out there.
It's a universal language. It goes back to the beginning of time. I mean, they used to communicate from one tribe to another one. Percussions, tempos and beats.
Yes.
Through music, yeah. Vibrations. Everything has vibrations in this universe. So that's really the strongest language there is. It's just vibrations. And all by sonic waves. What better than through music? And but it's just not me. I mean, it's just a bunch of musicians really always getting involved. When the disaster in Japan, tsunami, a bunch of us rockers got together and we did a couple of fundraisers here in Hollywood to raise money for Japan to help out for the tsunami, for the Red Cross.
I was going to say, do you get asked a lot, since people know that you are a humanitarian? Do you feel like there's a bunch of you that, if I were to say, hey, Rob, I want to put a show together, you already know who you would call upon to do some humanitarian things because you all sort of hang together? Would you say that's pretty common amongst musicians, that musicians are usually the ones that you can go to for humanitarian causes?
I made one phone call because I wanted to do something to help out with the tsunami, and I happened to call the guy that was actually organizing one of the organizations to do the concert. So I just jumped on board because he was already ahead of me. So I'm like, okay, I'll join you.
Excellent.
You know, so I helped him out. I don't care who's the leader. I don't care who's, you know, who's getting the credit, as long as I know that I'm fulfilling my need to help out.
You know, we totally understand that because St. Tony's music is all what we consider to be very healing, very powerful music, and very self-empowering. So we do a lot of these types of things as well. And this is why we started Humanitarian Radio. We felt like there needed to be some more noise made about all of the musicians and artists and actors and people who are doing really good things in the humanitarian effort. And there's not a whole lot of noise made about it, as in the daily news, you hear all the horrible things happening around the world, but you don't hear a whole lot of, geez, you got all these great people that are doing really awesome things to help our fellow humans live a better life. And so we definitely applaud you and your fellow musicians as we try to do the same thing in putting on our own shows and getting people involved so that we can fund things in the same realm. I know for us as a band, St. Tone, we definitely love the feeling that you get when you know you've helped a fellow human being in such a glorious way. Healing music, definitely, we've seen firsthand the results of how it helps the heart in that. And when you do these big concerts for people like the tsunami victims or anybody starving, whatever the cause is, it's an amazing feeling to walk away from knowing that you've been part of something that is just huge on a humanitarian level.
Bigger than yourself.
It really makes a difference. And, you know, we might not see it in front of us, but it affects other people, and it actually helps, even if it's just a tiny little, but it does help.
Yeah.
And that's another great organization. Well, you've heard of PETA. PETA's been, they've been doing great.
Right.
Great things. And Mercy for Animals, for anybody that wants to look it up. up and really get educated about the food industry, that's a great website, mercyforanimals.com, and Best Friends Animal Society. You know, I would just say, just for those who want to help and have a little bit of free time, I do it, my wife does it. There's a fine chihuahuas here in California, in Van Nuys, and so they don't put down all the dogs, and they're constantly at the shelter. They're getting small little chihuahuas and small dogs, and we're shipping them 30 at a time, most of the time, back to the East Coast, because it's not enough of those type of dogs. They get adopted and
right.
rescued. We're trying to do something with the pit bulls. I've owned pit bulls before, and they're very loyal, very lovable. They're very strong, so it's how you raise them. It's just the same thing. If you treat a human being in a very bad way, the way some of these people raise their pit bulls,
yeah.
they're going to be killers.
Exactly.
You'll see them at the ID channel, you know, one of those crime shows, you know. It's just,
right.
It doesn't help. I mean, sometimes people, criminals, grew up in a great family, and they're just, something, it's just a chemical imbalance that it's not right in their brain, and it makes them do what they do. But a lot of times, it's your product of your environment.
Yes,
and,
exactly.
And that's what happens. So, yeah, if they don't have a good environment, then they really already are 50% not in a good place. So,
Tony and I perform in prisons, and, you know, the band performs in prisons and for people out on parole, and that's something that's very common conversation, is that you are a product of your environment, and not everybody had the great family life that it sounds like you had. I know Tony and I both each had as well, where you have two parents in the house that actually care about their families and their children and teach you right from wrong. So it's definitely very much needed out there, the whole healing thing. I want to talk about your new CD that's out. Tell me about it, because I believe that you've got a lot of healing music there going on, and I want the fans to know. And just so you know, Rob, this is being broadcast all over the country, but also internationally as well. So people who want to get involved in things, obviously you don't have to come out to California to do it. You have needs in your own communities, no matter where you're living, and make the effort to go online or go to your local community heads and find out what the issues are that you can get involved in and get behind in your own communities as well.
If you want to help out, you know, you can go there, help out, walk some dogs, bathe them. You know, they
yeah.
just don't have the money to hire all these, you know, this help. So a lot of the dogs just sit there.
Right.
It's not their fault that people are losing their homes.
Right.
And the dogs are getting abandoned, and they're put in a shelter. And they can only hold on to them for so long. So if people can foster dogs, welcome, just give them a better life, they will give you a lot of love back.
You don't necessarily have to have money in order to help a cause. You can help with your time. And even the littlest amount of time is a huge help for these organizations that are starving for volunteers.
Well, like you said, giving them a walk.
Oh, my God, it feels so good. Exactly. You don't need the money. You can just go there and volunteer and walk a dog or two, and you see them how happy they get. And if you come back and you do it again and again and again, those dogs are going to be so happy to see you. It's just the love that they give you. It's just, you can't buy that love. Love of giving is karma. It's just a great vibration. And I'm getting chills just talking about it.
Well, you know, a dog's love is unconditional, and there's no denying that. And you actually have four dogs to give you love.
I have four dogs. I have a Japanese Shen that my wife, Avery, had purchased before she was aware of puppy mills. So we don't know where she came from, but she's a really great dog. And then we have two Pomeranians that we have rescued. And then we have a Pekingese, the last one that I rescued, leaving a recording studio. I drove by the shelter, and I just took another turn and went in there and looked for another dog. And she's lovable. She's like gorgeous, beautiful. Somebody just left her there at night.
And I hear that some of these sleep in bed with you. Which ones are those?
Oh, they all do.
They all do. Awesome.
Sometimes we take, you know, we take turns. We'll put, you know, this one or that one, or sometimes all of them.
There you
we
go.
Get back from a trip. Like I just did the. What is it called? The Vegas Locks, the war. Queen's Rec, we performed over there this last Sunday. and my wife joined me in Las Vegas. And when he flew back, we had him that night. The next day, we had him all in the bed because I knew they missed us and we missed them. So they always left them to bed with us. But they got spirits. They go up and down, so they're free range. They're free to go around.
Well, they're all part of the pack now, so and you're the pack leader. You're like the dog whisperer, the dog rescuer.
Yeah, well, that's why we bought our 33-foot RV, so they can travel with us. We don't want to leave them behind.
That's excellent. Well, they're part of your family now, and I think that's awesome. And all the work that you're doing, Rob, with your fame and all the humanitarian things that you do, I think are very admirable because a lot of people that are in your position don't really take the time to think of other people that are in need, and yet you have gone out there and made people aware about animal cruelty and cancer and MS, and you do all these concerts to help others that are in need, and I just think it's an excellent thing that you do. I want to get back to your CD real quick, because your CD that you just put out, you wrote 30 years ago.
Right after Hurricane, and they came out with EMI Records, which is Park Capital, kept the option. So they had me do another record. So I wrote it, arranged it, and produced it. This is back 21 years ago.
Wow.
Right after Hurricane. So what happened was that Enigma closed down, so it never got released. And at the time, my wife now, then, Susie, she was getting diagnosed. She's going through testing and was diagnosed. She was fighting cancer. So I just put it away in the vault,
right. The
master. And recently, Gary McGrath offered me a record deal last year before I was asked to join Queensryche. And I told him, listen to this thing. So he loved it. He goes, heck, this is a wireless release. It was already mixed. It just needed to be mastered. So I called that After the Storm because it was something that I did right after Hurricane. And it's doing quite well. It's actually, it was all recorded in analog. Woody Rell sang it. Also, Hoss on drums. And bass was Larry Dennison, a.k.a. Larry Bone. Mm-hmm. Larry, after working with me, he went on and played with Lita Ford. And then he went and joined Ronnie Dio and Tony McAlpine. Great bass player. He's still playing. And Haas has also been touring. It's not like 30 records after mine. And, it's actually, I'm very proud of the records called After the Storm. And I did it in English and Spanish. Rudy Rails is half Cuban, and so he was able to sing also some of the songs in Spanish.
Do you have a favorite track off the CD?
Like them all, but I love listening to Don't Change Your Love, and in Spanish it's called Los Cambios de Amor, and Innocent Girl, which is the ballad, and in Spanish it's called Angelita.
Well, that's excellent. We're going to listen to the English version of Don't Change Your Love. This is Robert Sarzo's solo CD that is available on Amazon called After the Storm. Wow, what an excellent song. We're back here with Robert Sarzo, guitar player that is currently on tour with Queensryche and Jeff Tate. But that right there is Don't Change Your Love. It is off the album After the Storm. It's available on iTunes. It's available on Amazon. And that just happens to be Robert Sarzo's solo CD. So definitely check it out. He's doing a lot of great humanitarian things. So we're here to support him. We hope that you, the listeners, support him also. Robert Sarzo's solo album, After the Storm. Are you doing any touring to support this now? I know you're touring right now with Queensryche, but do you have any plans on touring this record since it's out now?
Yeah, I'm going to tour it. What I'm going to do is I'm waiting to get my schedule for Queensryche, and then I'll work around it because, you know, Queensryche's my priority. And so whatever dates are available, then I'll book around it.
Are you going to take your brother with you, or what are your thoughts?
Rudy's got other things going on. I would love to, and talk to him about it, but he's already got other projects. So I might just put together almost the same band that I did on the record.
How do the other band members feel about having this album released 21 years later?
Oh, they're so happy. They really are finally, you know, getting going out. I think it was their first record that they have done.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was something that we all were very passionate about. So it's kind of good that it's finally out.
Oh, I think that's very exciting.
And I'm glad that the masters did not get damaged.
Yeah.
Well, to have it recorded analog and the fact that it's been safe for the past 21 years and now it's coming out in a digital age of downloads and MP3s and stuff. I mean, when you recorded it, none of that stuff probably existed. So to just have it come out, you could have had it out on